Voices to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price, and I'm always happy to say it's Inspirational Truth time once again, and to greet you as always in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. Oh, He is your Savior, isn't He? He can be. He came to be. In fact, He wants to be. The Word of God says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Now listen, friend, you may have started this day in the lost column, but you can end it in the saved column by the grace of God. If you'll realize you're a sinner, repent of your sin, and by faith receive Christ as your Savior. You know what He'll do? He'll save you. He'll make you a new creature in Christ. Well, thank God for you tuning in today. Debbie and I are totally excited about the message and the music and this program that God has laid on our heart so that we might glorify Him and edify you. Oh, listen, friend, I'll tell you, it's serious times, is it not? It is serious times. Listen, I was alive in the decade of the 60s, and I believe that was the most, up to this point of time, the most devastating time for our nation. I know our nation went through two world wars. They were part of the Korean conflict, and that was a war. Vietnam, I remember it. Friend, listen, all the different storms in the desert, all the above, Afghanistan. But I'm telling you, friend, that decade of the 60s was a time of gross rebellion, great rebellion, change in our thought. They even claimed God to be dead. They did. I got upset about that. Look, they said He was dead. He's my father. I'm part of the family. And I didn't know anything about it, but He's not dead. He's alive, and He's alive forevermore. Well, I've opened my Bible to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. Hebrews, chapter 10, right after the book of Philemon, right before the book of James. And I'm going to read three or four verses of Scripture there and share a message that God has laid on my heart. And I tell you what, I'm stirred up about this. I really am, friend. Listen, there are things that we as... Hey, are you saved? If you are, say amen. Do you know your sins are under the blood? Your name's recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. You've been sealed with the Spirit. Say amen, friend. Listen, we're obligated to some things. Do you hear that? We're not our own. We've been bought with a price. I'll tell you, friend, listen, it's serious stuff to belong to Christ, to name the name of Christ. And in doing that, we've obligated ourselves. We certainly have. Well, I'm stirred up in my spirit. Really am. I trust and pray that the message I believe the Lord has laid on my heart will be a blessing to you. But Debbie's got a song. The title of it here is, I Found the Answer. Guess where she found it? She found it at an altar of prayer. You know what? I found a lot of answers in an altar of prayer. You know where we find that? In the house of the Lord. Enjoy. I'll be back in a minute.
I was searching for the meaning of life. All I had was struggles and strife. Days were long and my heart no song. Then I knelt at an altar of prayer. There I I found one.
remember when I was saved, I nailed at an altar of prayer in a little church over in Boone County. And you know what, friend? I've not been the same since. And I'll tell you, I've been back to the altar several times as a believer, as a follower of Christ. I'll tell you what, I've sought the Lord in prayer. I've gone to, and you know where we find altars? Oh, I've got a friend of church. He made me one. Certainly did, made several of us one. But I'll tell you, the altar is generally connected with the house of the Lord, a place of worship. And that's what I'm going to be talking about today. In the book of Hebrews, in the book of Hebrews chapter 10, I'm going to begin reading. Going to begin reading verse 19 and read down through and include verse 15. The Word of God says, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God." Now let's pay attention now. Listen to this. "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our heart sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that hath promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." Now listen, "not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching." I'm going to talk to you today about, a little while now, about being serious about church. Being serious about church. Hey, I'm going to tell you something, friend. I think there are some things that have happened and are happening. They're fundamentally wrong for believers, for followers of Christ, for those who name the name of Jesus when it comes to the house of God. I want you to pay attention. I want you to listen to the Spirit of God. I want you to pay attention to the Word of God. You know what? Listen, friend. If you're saved, say amen. Well, you know what it means to be saved? It means to be like Christ. It means to be Christ-like. In reality, it means to be little Christ. The Bible tells us, I believe it is in Acts chapter 11, that they were called Christians first at Antioch. And that term, as I understand it, as I've been taught by scholars and theologians, they say that that term was laid upon those who followed Christ as a term that was negative. I mean, they were putting upon them in a means of derision, of deriding them, of downplaying what they were. But you know what the church has done? They have taken that and they have raised that to something honorable. Bless God, something that marks us out from all else, and even in my opinion, above all else, friend, that are in this world. I'm glad to be like Christ. I need to be more like Christ. And one of the ways that I can prove that I'm like Christ, friend, is going to the house of the Lord. I want you to know, friend, listen, I believe attending church is an important thing. And I believe, according to the verse that I just read in verse 25 of chapter 10, it's that much more important in this hour that we live, friend, when we see the approaching coming of Jesus Christ. I've never seen anything like I'm seeing today when it comes to the church. Hey, can I tell you something, friend? I believe when somebody gets saved, they come up from the altars, a newborn babe in Christ, with some birthmarks. I believe that. I believe, bless God, there's some indicators that people are saved. And I'm going to say something, and then I'll quantify it. I believe if you get saved, you ought to want to be in the house of the Lord. I believe when you get saved, bless God, you'll be in the house of the Lord. Somebody say amen right there. Now, I know that people go to church and aren't saved, and going to church won't make you saved. But listen to what I'm preaching. I'm preaching today about the fact that if you're saved, you ought to want to be in the house of God. You want to do your part in the house of God. If we read this passage of Scripture right, but understand what He's saying in these three "let us" phrases. Friend, listen, I'm not going to get them all today. I just don't have time, and that's not what this message is about. Since we know that we have a high priest, Jesus Christ, and since we know that we can approach to the holy place, that holiest of holies, bless God, not made with hands, you know what we ought to do? We ought to consider Him, bless God, whose body was broken, whose veil was rent, so that we could access that. Then we ought to consider ourselves, try to understand how that we are to come. Paul gives us four things we ought to pay close attention to. We ought to pay close attention attention to certain things. Let me go ahead and read them for you if I can. We ought to draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our heart sprinkled from an evil conscience, our body washed with pure water. Hey, friend, listen, we ought to approach the house of God and the worship that we plan to do there in a proper way, in a proper attitude, with proper things in place personally, spiritually, and relationally with Jesus Christ. And then he goes on to say, hey, you know what else we're supposed to do? We're supposed to consider our profession of our faith. We ought to have something, bless God, it ought to be important to us. And then he said, and here's what the crux of the message is actually, we ought to consider others. Hey, can I tell you the truth, friend? I'm a pastor. I'm a preacher. I've been called to the ministry of the gospel of grace. But I'm a member of the body of Christ just like you. Although I'm an under-shepherd, I'm a sheep too. And can I tell you, friend, under both of those terms, it bothers me when my brothers or sisters in Christ who claim to know Jesus as their Savior, when they don't frequent the house of God, when they don't show up in the place of worship, it concerns me. I mean, to tell you, it bothers me. It makes me wonder about, are they sick spirits? Are they having that many struggles? Can I minister to them? What could I do to help them? Hey, listen, friend, you know what we ought to do? We ought to be serious about the church. We ought to be serious about the house of God. We ought to be serious about going out of that place of worship, that place that's been built and dedicated under the worship of God, to the edifying of the saints, to the proclamation of the gospel ministry. Why to be serious about coming to church? Now look, let me tell you two things that's really bothered me. Number one, we're watching, and we have been for quite some time, the transformation of the church. Hey, we're living in a time when Christians think that all they need to be is a Sunday morning Christian. We've got pastors, and I believe they're foolish and actually show some of their stupidity when they say we're not going to meet on Sunday night or Wednesday night. You just get you a little cell group and y'all get together and look at the Word of God and just let everybody give what they think the Word of God means. That's not what God did. I bless God when He established the church. I don't mind when people get together. I like it, bless God, when little bodies get together in fellowship and break bread and do those things. But I'll tell you what, God established a church. Do you hear me? God established a church because He knew those who would follow Christ would need it. You know what we need to be in this age and in this society of Sunday morning Christian ideology? We need to be serious about church. And bless God, listen, COVID's not helped anything. You know that? COVID's not helped that thing at all. Hey, listen, I was glad for the technology and the electronics that allowed us to still communicate with each other when we couldn't gather and assemble in the house of the Lord because people were scared to death because we had a serious problem during this pandemic that we haven't been long through, and it's still affecting us without a doubt. But oh, some people, bless God, got lazy and they've broken habits, and they think that it's easier and even better how to sit at home with a cup of coffee, a pair of pajamas on, and get on their Facebook and watch service. Hey, listen, friend, can I tell you, if you're providentially hindered from coming to the house of God, that's perfectly all right. We're glad to be able to supply you with that kind of possibility and opportunity to still fellowship with the saints. But hey, let me be real simple. Ain't nothing like being there. Ain't nothing like, bless God, shaking hands with another brother or sister in Christ, looking them in the eye and hear them say, boy, it's good to see you. There ain't nothing like being in the house of God when the Spirit of God begins to move. When He gets on to testify, when He gets on the worship service, the preaching, the teaching, and the singing. Hey, when the Spirit of God just shows up. Oh, I like to listen to men preach on a recording on my cell phone or on the computer, on a CD, sermon audio, or Facebook or YouTube, wherever it may be. But I'll tell you, friend, though I can feel the Spirit of God there, in that there ain't nothing like being there. Hey, we ought to be serious about church. Thank God. Somebody said, well, preacher, I don't get much out of it when I go. Well, let me ask you something. What do you put in it before you go? There's this family going home after church one Sunday morning. Mom and Dad sitting up front of the car talking. Buddy, they were just giving. They were just giving how the pastor down the road, they were criticizing the choir, the devotional leader, people that tried to worship and praise God. And hey, the little boy in the back said, you know, they were talking about just how bad it was and about how poor it was. The little boy in the back said, you know what, Daddy? So I don't think it was a bad show for a nickel. You know what that boy did? That boy told him what that father put into it. He watched him put something in the plate that went by, and he knew it wasn't much. Hey, but there's a moral to that. Bless God, listen. I was raised with the idea that you'll not get any more out of church when you go than what you're willing to put in it. Hey, friend, listen. If I understand what this passage says, and that we're to exhort one another, provoke one another, and do it so much more as to see the day approaching. It's not all about you going to church and getting something out of it. It's about what you can go and give to it. And there's some things that we ought to give to it. There's some things about church, bless God, that we ought to do. Can I start here? It's not the first point in my little outline. It's going to be first point of my message. You know what we ought to do? Bless God. We ought to bring and be our best. Thank God. We ought to bring and be our best when we come to the house of the Lord. We ought to come prayed up. We ought to come stirred up. We ought to come excited. We ought to come, bless God, expecting a great time of the Lord. Expecting the pastor to preach the best he's ever preached. Expecting God to bless the most he's ever blessed. For the choir to sing the greatest that they've ever seen. For the testimonies to be sweeter than they've ever been. You know what we ought to be? Bless God, we ought to be excited. We ought to be at our best. And we ought to give our best when we get there. Boy, I'll tell you what, I look around and thank God. I mean, thank God it's not like that in the church that I have the privilege of pastoring. But in a lot of these, bless the Lord, these pragmatic and emergent churches that teach a philosophy and ideology, just come as you are and leave as you were. Bless God, listen, at our place, people look good when they come in there. I mean to tell you, I believe they're excited about going to the house of the Lord. I believe they're bringing their best. Hey, thank God, I can tell you they give their best. You know what we ought to do? We go to God's house. We ought to remember it's God's house. We're not going to our house. We're not going to Walmart. We're going to the house of the Lord. Where the great I am, is represented. Where He manifests Himself. And where we go there to proclaim His Word and to pray. Praise His holy name. Thank God we ought to act like the priest that's going in the holiest of holies. He got cleaned up. That's what Hebrews is really talking about. He got washed up. Bless God, he paid attention to how he looked, the dirt under his fingernails, whether his clothes were pressed or not, whether there was any spots on him, whether there was any problem. Hey, friend, you think I'm being silly? You think I'm being a legalist? I'm telling you, bless God, listen, if we'd get a good, renewed look at God Almighty and who He is and what He is, how holy He is, how exalted He is, where He is, what He is. Hey, bless God, what He's done for us and what He's doing for us. I believe it would transform us. We ought to be serious about going to the house of God. Let me tell you what else we ought to do. We ought to make it a priority. That may have been sort of the first point that I use after talking about the Sunday morning going to Christian society, after I've talked about the lax and the laissez ideology, bless God, about going to church since the pandemic. Hey, friend, it's still a sweet place. It's still God's people's place. It's still, listen, ought to be a priority. Hey, the Word of God tells us in the book of Luke chapter 4 that as Jesus' custom was, you went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. Now, I've got to clarify that. We don't have Sunday as a Sabbath, but Jesus set forth a pattern of going to the house of His Father, gathering with others to worship, to hear the Word of God read, to hear the Word of God expounded, to exhort each other, to edify each other, to build each other up. Hey, listen, friend, let's face it. Bless God, we ought to build our life around the church and not the church around our life. That ought to be a priority. We ought to seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and let all these other things as God sees fit be added unto us. Hey, friend, bless God. Church ought to be a big deal. We ought to be a member of a local fellowship of faith. That Clarence Sexton has the best definition made by man of a church. It is a group of baptized believers that voluntarily get together and to do their best to carry out the Great Commission. You ought to want to be a part of that. You ought to be a part of evangelizing the world, spreading the gospel, making disciples, obeying the Great Commission, fellowshipping with the saints, being provoked by them, being edified by them, being strengthened by them. And that's what he said. He said here, we ought to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but we ought to get there, friends, so we can be provoked. I bless God unto love and to good works. I'll tell you what, listen, you'll be a better Christian coming to church than not coming to church. If you're not providentially hindered, if you're not sick, if you're not handicapped, if you're not whatever, you say that you're saved. You name the name of Jesus. You ought to be in the house of God. You ought to be there worshiping Him. You ought to be there fellowshipping with the saints. You ought to be there singing praises to Him. You ought to be offering praise and prayer and supplication and intercession for others. You ought to be there encouraging the weak, encouraging the discouraged. Bless God, you ought to be there building up your faith and somebody else's. You know what? We ought to be serious about church. We ought to be serious about making it a priority. We ought to be serious about making it to be a big deal. We ought to be faithful. We ought to be pressed to be there. We ought to be reliable. Bless God, we ought to be a member. We ought to be a member. Do you know that? Where we can commit ourselves, where we can grow, be rooted downward and fruit upward, just like the Word of God. We ought to be like a palm tree planted in the house of the Lord. Thank God for the church. You know what? People say, well, preacher, listen, I don't get anything out of the church. Well, let me tell you something, friend. Being serious about church doesn't mean that you go there to be entertained. You're not to go there to be pacified. You're not to go there to be appeased. God has called men of God, pastors, not to pacify the flock, but to feed the flock, to exhort them, to reprove them, to rebuke them, to give them sound doctrine. But we're in a day where there are a bunch of people heaping up to themselves teachers having itching ears. We're living in a day, friend, I bless God, when people don't want sound doctrine, that they want some kind of philosophy or psychology, had to build up their self-esteem, had to build up their person. Hey, but the Word of God says we're to build up our faith. We're to provoke one another into love and to good works, and especially in this light of this day and hour that we live in, when it seems apparent that the Lord is soon to come. Can I tell you, friend, if you're not going to church, if you're not excited about it, if you don't have it as a priority, let me ask you something. You think the Lord's soon to return? Oh, bless God if you do. You've just obligated yourself to be the house of God. You've just told me if you're not going there, if you're not going there passionately, regularly, lovingly, excitedly, you're telling me you're not really expecting the Lord to come. Listen, friend, the church needs you. You need the church. We need each other. Hey, listen, bless God. It's a wonderful place to be able to come out of the house of the Lord. It's a holy place. It's set apart of the worship of God by the saints of God. And we're to be holy. Let's face it. We're not to go there to be entertained, to see somebody perform a dance or some kind of a drama. But we are to be there to hear a clear declaration of the Word of God, to hear a man of God saved up, saith the Lord, to hear man of God declare, repent or perish, and to proclaim the great truth that you must be born again. Hey, bless God, if you've not been making Christ or church a priority, if you've not been serious about it, why don't you repent? Why don't you be honest? Why don't you recognize your fault? And I'll guarantee, if you're not spiritually fit, if you're not sound spiritually, if you're weak, bless God, in the faith, I'll tell you, it's because probably you've not been to the house of the Lord, being fellowshipping with God's people to where they can provoke you unto good works. Bless God and encourage you. Hey, let's be serious about the house of the Lord.
You are my Savior.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at the same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. We're on the web at TOMANDDEBBIE at inspirationaltruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at inspirationaltruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now, until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.